Well, good morning. How are you doing this morning? Happy Friday. Welcome to Morning Teen Allegations. This is your host, Petty B, otherwise known as Bianca Goolsbee, and I'm so excited to be with you this morning. There is a lot of stuff that's going on in this world, and you know, I just want to just pose this question. I posed it on Instagram and Facebook, but you know, 2020 has been a very interesting year for every single one of us. Regardless of your background, COVID-19 has definitely changed a lot of things in our world. And so I just want to know, you know, what are some of the things that you are thankful for? Put it in the comments. What are you thankful for? Now, for those of you that are on here, good morning. I hope that you're saying good morning and not being rude. So welcome. I hope that you guys are having a great Friday. And we got so much stuff to talk about this morning. Okay, so as you know, we always get started with our church announcements, amen. So let's go ahead and get started with that. So I want to say congratulations to Miss Lucas in Hillsborough County Public Schools. She was actually featured with Bay News 9. Let me share the article here for being an A-plus educator and preparing students for life. So I just wanted to say congratulations to Miss Lucas for what she does for our children every single day. And this is the article that talks about her and what she's doing for our kids. So I will post the link so that you can check out the article yourself. And again, congratulations. That is an amazing honor. And yeah, it's all about the kids at the end of the day. So that is what's most important. So let's go ahead and give her a round of applause. Okay, there's a legend in Pinellas County, and unfortunately he passed away. And so everyone is, you know, talking in memory of him. And I just want to go ahead and share, you know, Principal Hepburn. And I just want to share my screen so that you guys can see this article. And he was a great leader in Pinellas County, and a lot of people looked up to him and the way that he moved for children. And so we just want to say our condolences to the family, and I'm gonna post the link there so that you can check out the story. But he's a great guy, and he didn't always want to be in education, but he definitely set a standard for our children and for the community. So I wanted to share that with you. Also, God is moving, because I don't know if you know, but there's a lot of conversations about what's happening with Facebook, and how, you know, Facebook needs to be broken up, and how they illegally crush competition. So I just want to share that the Tampa Bay Times, the New York Times posted about how Facebook is accused of breaking antitrust laws. And so I will post the link where you can read this article yourself. But they are taking a closer look into the illegal monopoly that Facebook has created, especially with people's data and people's information. And so people really need to be intentional, because there's deals that have been taking place with Instagram and WhatsApp, and have combined all of the top social media apps into one company, and they have access to all of that data. So I just hope that we keep that same energy when we talk about Google. We keep that same energy when we talk about Microsoft, that same energy when we're talking about these tech companies. But Google also is being looked at as well. So I will post that article there if you're interested, so that you can learn more about it. But this social media, this technology world, especially now due to COVID, is definitely put a spotlight on your data, internet security, and yeah, these companies have been profiting off of people's ignorance of what has been happening digitally. So now people are paying attention. Also, for the church announcement, in honor of National Human Rights Month, I want to talk about people and platforms that are complicit in human and sex trafficking. So I just want to use my voice to highlight this particular issue. And there is a petition that's out here that I want to share with you, that it's important to me, and I want to share it with you. But it's called Trafficking Hub, and it's a movement to shut down Pornhub. Pornhub has been complicit of holding materials of people that have, you know, been abused, and it's not right. And I've even talked about this in one of my blog posts on social media back in April, I believe. I talked about Pornhub and how they're complicit in human sex trafficking. If you don't know, if you live in the Tampa Bay area, you know that the Tampa Bay area actually is leading in the state of Florida for this type of activity. So this is something that is really, really important. And just because it doesn't apply to you because you haven't seen it, don't believe that it doesn't exist. It's a real thing. It's impacting real children and real families. So please be intentional with that. And yeah. So with that being stated, let's go ahead and continue with our additional church announcements and our disclaimers. And I will be right back. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best way that you can securely go on the web without your information being tracked. Stay private with a VPN and go to the link www.biancagoolsby.com/VPN. It's a 30-day free trial, so there's nothing to lose. Okay, we got so much tea to talk about. First of all, I just want to know, have you checked your child's cell phone? If you haven't, you need to, because my goodness, I have just been snitching on your kids. And I'm gonna be honest, you know, some of your kids are missing out on a lot of stuff because they're not airdropping material. Now, if they're in brick and mortar, they're probably still doing that. But you know, there was so much content that is shared between students during school. It is beyond me. Parents, you need to be intentional. You need to be mindful of what your children have access to, the apps that they have on their phone, what they're interacting with, and who they're following. If you don't want your child to, you know, be around strangers and having strangers show up at your house, why do you allow your children to speak with all these different strangers and you have no idea who your children are talking to? Hey girl, hey, good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Morning Tea and Allegations. Now, for the rest of you that's on here and did not say good morning, where are you?
Oh, hell no!
Y'all better write in these comments and stop playing. Okay, so the first order of business. If you haven't watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix, you need to say it. Okay, you need to see it. And I'm telling you, it's something that is really, really important. The Social Dilemma really opens your eyes on how this algorithm works with social media and what it's doing to adults. And then I want you to start thinking about children. And then so Sis said, it's not snitching, it's saving lives and these kids' innocence. Yes. So my whole theory of using the word snitching is, you know, we need to normalize saying that it is okay to snitch. We have this no snitch culture where we feel like we can't hold people accountable. And this is why all of this stuff is happening. It's just so interesting to me how, and I'm deviating from my topic, but it's just so interesting to me how we would cover our family members when they're doing stuff wrong, how we would cover these celebrities when they're doing stuff wrong. But when it's like people in your own house, you act like you can't hold people accountable? Really? What are we doing?
Bruh.
So at some point, we need to talk about that it's okay to snitch. It's okay to hold people accountable. It's okay to speak truth to power. What's happening is that people say, oh, it's not my problem. I'm not going to say nothing. This is not my business. But your children that's twerking on, you know, the internet, that is your business, because all of these children, these are our children, because at some point they're going to be leading this world someday, coming soon. And we haven't equipped them with the skills to do that. We haven't. We have failed our children. Like, let's be real about it. Our young kids that are growing up, we have failed them. And so now we need to take our kids back, because social media, clout, likes, all of that has destroyed the minds of our children. It's destroyed the minds of our adults. We have to get our kids back, because if the way that this is set up, it's just too much. So speaking of social media and speaking of the things that are posted, I want to play this clip of a situation that took place. It actually happened in Kissimmee. There was a football championship game. And I just want to play this video because I just have some comments that I want to share with you about this particular situation. Watch the clip.
Oh, look at him. Look at him. Whoa. Oh. What the hell? Wow. What the? Hey, this is going viral. What the hell?
So this football coach assaulted this child, and this is not appropriate. This is not okay. And, you know, I've seen so many children that are playing on the basketball courts. They're playing on the football field. They're playing all of these sports, but they're not on reading level. And I'm not trying to throw shade or anything, but just a couple of questions about the clip. Number one, all the people that were surrounding him and didn't say nothing. They said nothing. So that lets me know that this behavior is somewhat normalized, that there was no shock factor to what was taking place. I was shocked when I saw it. I was shocked after the first hit. But I'm not used to seeing that type of activity. But it was clear on that field that this was a behavior. This was something that has been done before. This wasn't new. And parents, you want your kids to be these football stars and these basketball stars, and you put so much time and putting them in Little League. And you spend money making sure that they have their equipment and what they need. But when it comes time to go back to school, we don't have supplies for them for paper and pencils and materials that they need to learn. We need to talk about our value system. Today's episode is titled Altar Call. And the reason why I titled it this way is because there's a lot of things that we need to just really sit down and reflect and have a conversation and say, is this working for us or no? What's not working is for us to put all this energy in our children playing sports when they go out in the world and they can't even read their contract to know that they're getting a good deal or not. These NFL players, some of them, because they haven't had the proper legal counsel, because they haven't been supported by the right people, are getting ripped off in their contracts because they are unable to read and comprehend what is the expectations and what they're signing. They just see the dollar amount, and because they're coming from a place of where money is something that they didn't have access to, they now see it and they're just signing their name away for these deals where it's not profitable for them. This is the same thing that's happening with these rappers that are coming out here that are rapping about felonies. They are rapping about a felony in every bar. And I just want people to understand that we need to change the music that we're listening to. We need to change the value system that we have. And we need to put it to the altar, because this is enough. Our children are walking around here thinking that they can quit school and become YouTubers, because if you go on YouTube, you can see that there's different people out here that are telling children to quit school to be YouTubers. You don't believe me? Let's go ahead. Let's take a look. Videos. Now look at this kid who said that he was 15 and he quit school to do YouTube.
Firstly, a few things to say before the video starts. Number one, if you could leave a like on this video, that'd be absolutely amazing. If we could shoot for, let's say, 20,000 likes on this video, that would mean a lot to me. And also, guys, this one is really, really serious. So, like, focus right now. This is serious. So I'm sure you guys have heard about this by now, but at the moment, there's been a lot of problems with YouTube. For example, some videos by the creators aren't going into the subscriber sub boxes. So in other words, my videos aren't going out to you guys. Now, there's one way that you guys can be certain that you will see my videos, and that is by turning on notifications for...
Now, I just want to pause here, because if you look at the title of the video that he's showing, it says, "My dad tells me I'm adopted." That means that his family is participating in his career in YouTube. There are parents out here that are using their children for likes, views, and clout, from disciplining your child on social media and thinking that it's funny, to embarrassing your child and thinking that it's funny, to doing pranks and scaring your child and making them uncomfortable and posting it on the internet. This is the stuff that's happening on social media. This is what your kids are looking up to. This is what your children are watching. And just like adults suffer from imposter syndrome because they're seeing all of these people post all of this stuff on social media, my question is, what do you think is happening to our children? Have you even thought about that? So parents, I go back to, it is your duty and your responsibility. Now, in regards to this football situation, these coaches need to stop playing games. These coaches need to speak life into our young kings and queens that are playing these sports and stop trying to tear them down. For those that are coaching, do not take your failed experiences out on these children that are playing on the field, because that was your dream and that was your goal, and you were holding that on these children for a plastic trophy. But we haven't figured out if they are on reading level. We haven't figured out if they are emotionally supported. We haven't figured out if they have everything that they need for school. But yet we're out here playing on the field and you're cussing at them. You're saying all kinds of things to them. And then you wonder why kids suffer from self-esteem. You wonder why kids are committing suicide. You wonder why all of these things are happening. But look at how you're treating our children. Good morning, Ms. Tate. She said, good morning, Bianca. Been very busy volunteering in the community, trying to bring positive changes for all and not just a few. I thank you for what you do, Ms. Tate. You do phenomenal work in the community, and I know the community is very thankful for you for what you do. So good morning, and thank you for commenting. But yeah, like, so after the video went viral, by the way, if you don't know, he actually worked for his local sheriff's office. He was fired and terminated from his position, and he was also banned for life for coaching due to this viral video. And so there's consequences to these actions. But I do want to play the clip of his 37 seconds apology of him apologizing for his behavior. So let's roll the clip.
Everybody that's seen the video, and everyone have something negative to say. You know, I'm gonna apologize for my actions about what took place, but at the end of the day, I am a man, and I'm not gonna make no excuses for what I did. I was wrong. I shouldn't have disciplined him in public. I should have waited till he got back for doing what he did. At the end of the day, I apologize to him, the kids, the city down here, and my family back at home. I do apologize. There's no excuse for my actions, you know. I hope, well, He forgave me, and his parents have forgiven me. So nobody else should be bashing me. Thank you.
So Savannah News reached out to the mother of the child that was shown in the video. And basically her position was that she is aware that the coaches would not try to hurt the kids. So again, that lets me know that, you know, this type of behavior is something that was condoned because he said that he should have did it in private. And so that just lets me know. And look, you caught it. So he should have punched him in private. Yeah, so that's basically what I got from it. And because he's a man, you know. But anyway, so parents, if you're going to have your children participate in these sports, please make sure that they are in an uplifting environment when they're playing these sports. But also, most importantly, that you're taking care of home first and making sure that they are doing what they need academically before they do these extracurricular activities. Please. Moving on. So in other news, there is a 26-year-old who is actually a NASA engineer, and she's actually working to advocate to have children that look like me, look like us, to, you know, be in STEM. So I want to just share this article here. She is 26 years old, and she is someone who is killing the game. There's a video that I will put in the comments where she made a unit conversion rap for children to remember unit conversions. And she's really advocating for science, STEM, and she was the keynote speaker, and she's really done a lot. So her name is Deja Williams. And again, she is working a lot to do some positive things with STEM. So I want to go ahead and link the video in the comments where you can actually watch her video where she's doing the unit conversions rap. I think it's awesome. And we need more songs that are helping our kids and not where our kids are singing about Percocets and Molly and drugs and sex and WAP. And I mean, come on. The fact that we have elementary school children that are singing and doing TikToks to WAP is beyond me. But parents, you have to change this. So do I think that some of these artists have a duty and responsibility, especially to their younger audience? Absolutely. But parents, you need to control what your kids are watching and reading and following. And the fact that you are giving them a cell phone unsupervised, it is very dangerous, and you have to stop. So there's more things that's taking place and that I need y'all to pay attention to, and I hope that maybe y'all will actually try it. Microsoft is coming in, and they are saying that, hey, we're going to help you block Xbox until your children finish doing their homework. So can I get an amen? Amen, because I don't understand how some of y'all allow your kids to be on Fortnite all night, and they haven't did any homework.
Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm. So Microsoft is adding more parental controls, and you can get that set up right through Microsoft. So they have launched this ability to where you can have control over Xbox, and you can actually have control over your Wi-Fi. I'm going to give y'all some tips on how you can do that, so that way your kids are not on the internet late at night. There's apps and avenues out here where you could shut the Wi-Fi off at a certain time, so therefore, or limit certain devices from having access to the internet, so therefore your kids are not on YouTube at 2 o'clock in the morning watching God knows what. So this family setting, it is now available for Android and iOS. So I will link this article here so that if your child has an Xbox and you're interested in limiting the screen time, you can follow this link and get more information to get that set up. But I think it's very impactful. Now, I want to talk about the Jennings Middle School saga, because there was a lot of stuff that took place from my last time that I talked about it. And I'm going to just, again, people lie, receipts don't. So this was my post. This was my post on December 4th. And on my post, I was talking about how there was a staff member at the school that had tested positive for COVID-19 and that there were other staff members that was near that cafeteria staff that were not quarantined and that they were on campus and that they were serving your children. Okay. Now that post was posted on December 4th. That was last Friday. Now, the following day, that Saturday, Addison Davis actually made an appearance on What's Really Happening, a radio show on WTMP hosted by Bishop Michelle B. Patty. Now, I want to go ahead and play the clip where he was asked about this particular situation that was posted on social media on Friday.
I do want to ask you about Jennings Middle School. I'm being told that there was a cafeteria worker that was tested positive for COVID-19, and the staff, they continued to work with and serve food to the other children, the staffers who were not. Explain why the school didn't get shut down or the cafeteria line didn't shut down. What do y'all have in place that allowed that to continue them to serve?
Yes, ma'am. One thing we did when we decided to do a smart start week at the beginning of the year and pause our start to August 31st, we got a chance to watch other school districts in the first 2 weeks in August to figure out what worked, what didn't, and what we could do differently. One thing we saw was that custodial staff members and Healthy Express, which is our food nutrition staff members, we saw that in the first 2 weeks in another school district that they didn't have really specific locations where they were working and they weren't participating in social distancing, which is hard to do, but they've got to have to assign, areas of what they're going to take on, whether it's serving food or what particular parts of the school they're going to clean. One thing we did, we saw that, food nutrition and custodians are being sent home en masse. So one thing we did was put in new protocols earlier in the year to make certain that custodians really focus on specific parts of schools so they do not really work collectively. And at the same time, the food nutrition, to give them very explicit roles. And one thing we do is we always partner with the Department of Health. And in the quarantine process, when we have a positive case, we go and we look, and it within a 24-hour span, figuring out if an employee has been in direct contact, that means less than 6 feet, without a mask, within 6 feet with a mask over a 15-minute period. And after being lit with our COVID commander and at the district level and the school level and district staff looking and investigate each situation, we just didn't find that while we had a positive case, we didn't find within 24 hours because that individual wasn't on campus, that they, for with an extended period of time, they were in that 6 feet and 15-minute interaction side of it. We've had cafeteria staff that we've had to send home and bring other staff from other schools and also the district level to be able to serve children. And this, we take this very seriously. And at Jennings, we could not confirm and we did not find that they hit the threshold and the protocols outlined by the Department of Health. If that would be true, we would have sent that entire staff home and we would have had the secondary staff come in to further protect our students. This is very serious. We make certain that we quarantine every employee that we can to further protect themselves and also every individual on our campus.
So, we're going to talk about it because, let me just play the sound clip.
You really think someone would do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies?
So for the life of me, I don't understand why people think that I just come on the internet to just make up lies, to just lie on a situation, to, perpetuate narratives that are untrue and making it seem as though this whole situation wasn't true, that, it's just beyond me. So let's go ahead and just look at the receipts, right? Because, of course, people lie, receipts don't. So let's go ahead and, again, let's say dates, okay? Because dates are very, very critical here, okay? So I made my social media post on December 4th. That radio interview was December 5th. I want to call into evidence the COVID tracker. Please insert receipt B. Now, this is a screenshot of the COVID tracker, and I have taken it and I identified the school. Jennings Middle School. And these are all the cases that are listed at Jennings Middle School. Now, just in case, you know, you're like, hey, well, that's a screenshot. You know, that's not, you know, really what's going on. Okay, well, let's go ahead and just share that with you. So if I type here location and I type Jennings, okay. All right. So the data is the same. Okay. So there is a case that was reported on the 10th. There was a case that was reported on the 3rd. Okay. Now I made my status on the 4th. Okay. Now there's another case on December 10th. Now, why is that important? Well, that's important because, folks, the same place that they cleaned on December 4th, well, December 3rd, technically, was the same place that they cleaned on December 10th, which, do you know what that means? That means that if another cafeteria worker tested positive for COVID-19 on December the 10th, that means that you did not quarantine the right people when the case happened on December 3rd.
Oh, hell no.
So I go back to my post. There was people that was working that should have been quarantined on December the 3rd. They should have been quarantined when they cleaned the school on December 3rd. On December 10th, another cafeteria worker tested positive, meaning that they did not quarantine the right people on December the 3rd. So again, let's play that clip one more time where Addison Davis allegedly says what happened.
I do want to ask you about Jennings Middle School. I'm being told that there was a cafeteria worker that was tested positive for COVID-19, and the staff, they continued to work with and serve food to the other children. The staffers who were not. Explain why the school didn't get shut down or the cafeteria line didn't shut down. What do y'all have in place that allowed that to continue them to serve?
Yes, ma'am. One thing we did when we decided to do a smart start week at the beginning of the year and paused our start to August 31st, we got a chance to watch other school districts in the first 2 weeks in August to figure out what worked, what didn't, and what we could do differently. One thing we saw was that custodial staff members and Healthy Express, which is our food and nutrition staff members, we saw that in the first 2 weeks in another school district that they didn't have really specific locations where they were working, and they weren't participating in social distancing, which is hard to do, but they've got to have to sign, you know, areas of what they're going to take on, whether it's serving food or what particular parts of the school they're going to clean. One thing we did, we saw that, you know, food nutrition and custodians are being sent home at mass. So one thing we did was put in new protocols earlier in the year to make certain that custodians really focus on, you know, specific parts of school so they do not really work collectively. And at the same time, the food nutrition, to give them very explicit roles. And one thing we do is we always partner with the Department of Health. And in the quarantine process, when we have a positive case, we go and we look, and within a 24-hour span, figuring out if an employee has been in direct contact, that means less than 6 feet, without a mask, within 6 feet with a mask over a 15-minute period. And after being lit with our COVID commander and the district level and the school level and district staff looking and figure and school staff looking and investigate each situation, we just didn't find that while we had a positive case, we didn't find within 24 hours because that individual wasn't on campus, you know, that they, you know, for with an extended period of time, they were in that 6 feet and 15-minute interaction side of it. We've had cafeteria staff that we've had to send home and bring other staff from other schools and also the district level to be able to serve children. And this, we take this very seriously. And at Jennings, we could not confirm and we did not find that they hit the threshold and the protocols outlined by the Department of Health. If that would be true, we would have sent that entire staff home and we would have had the secondary staff come in to further protect our students. This is very serious. We make certain that we quarantine every employee that we can to further protect themselves and also every individual on our campus.
Okay. But again, looking at this graph, they had a case yesterday. So we are playing a dangerous game with COVID. We are playing a dangerous game with how we are quarantining our staff, our students. We are playing games for FTE dollars. This is not just in Hillsborough County. This is an issue that's happening statewide and beyond. What I'm going to say is this. Number one, Jennings is not the only school that we're having these issues with. So let's actually take a look at the COVID tracker so that you can actually see what's going on with all these cases. So this is the updated COVID tracker. Now, again, I've emphasized this to you. This graph doesn't read the correct way. We traditionally read from left to right, but actually the most updated data is to the left. So it's inverted. So all of these cases that we're having in Hillsborough County and Pinellas County and Manatee County, Sarasota, all of these different counties that we're having COVID-19, the rates have significantly increased. And it is very dangerous for our children. And we are playing games with the procedures in order to keep people safe. And this is why people are upset, because you want to talk about having a marketing plan to have more people to come inside the school. But yet we can't keep people safe that's already inside school. And this right here, this is a problem. Now, there are schools on here that the number that they have listed on this COVID tracker is not correct. In fact, I have messages upon messages of different schools that have cases of COVID that are not linked to the COVID tracker. Let's play one of them.
Good afternoon. I'm calling to let you know that we have a positive case of COVID on our campus. I sent a letter through Canvas to all faculty members and parents. Due to privacy laws, we cannot disclose the identity of the individual with a confirmed diagnosis. Please reference the letter in Canvas and contact me if you have any questions or concerns. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.
To opt out of future messages, call 85.
We have educators that have passed away because of this disease, because of this virus. So we're playing a very dangerous game. And I just want to say that some of the administrators are complicit. So let me get this straight. And we just going to go ahead and spill the whole tea. So administrators, some of y'all, hear me out. So you mean to tell me that you're aware that there was a positive case at one of the classrooms and you wait until the end of the day to report that? So you had a positive case and you knew about it in second period, but you had kids and educators in there third period, fourth period, fifth period, sixth period in a room that you know that someone tested positive for COVID-19 and you knew, and you wait until the end of the school day to report it? Y'all are playing a dangerous game. Y'all are playing a very dangerous game, and it's not right. It is not right. So, Superintendent Addison Davis, you know, I don't know if someone told you that they followed the procedures and you were just repeating what they told you, or you actually looked into the situation and you are explaining based on your knowledge, on you speaking to your staff and you coming up with that conclusion. I don't know. But what I'm going to tell you is what you said on the radio is different from the reality, because there was another case that happened in the same space, meaning that that employee was at work serving children, which is what my post said on December the 4th. So this is what I'm going to request. I'm going to request records because I know it exists. I want to know all the schools that had to be cleaned and what day they were cleaned and what time they were cleaned and the frequency. Because I know for a certain that Plant High School has been cleaned multiple times a week. Multiple times a week. There is somebody cleaning at Plant High School. I know that. So people need to be intentional. And we need transparency. So Superintendent Davis, I appreciate you being on the radio. And I'm glad that you are on the radio so that we can have you on the record. So that we can have some receipts. But the receipts from what you stated on the radio wasn't true because there was an employee who had later tested positive for COVID-19 that was not quarantined. So I don't know what you're going to say about that. If they were quarantined, they wouldn't have had another positive case. You wouldn't have had to clean the school again. And now all those days where that person was at work, before they knew they tested positive. And then why are some of y'all, knowing that y'all have symptoms, coming to work? I don't understand it. And then some of you believe that, you know, you shouldn't wear masks and you are not following procedures. So who are we gonna hold responsible for that? I just wanna know. So people need to be intentional. Now, there's a video that, well, it wasn't really a video, it was a picture, but it was a picture at Junta, and I will post it in the comments so that y'all could see it, but it was the people with their suits on, cleaning the school. So, there's things that's happening. Y'all are just dismantling public education at this point. Number one, we had a conversation about when COVID reached a certain threshold that we were going to, you know, close school and try to get these numbers down. Well, that hasn't happened. In fact, we're talking about having these different marketing plans to have more people come inside. And we could barely maintain soap and everything else to make sure that, you know, our kids are safe. And then about the discipline that's happening at the schools. There are fights. All of that stuff that was happening where the district was on the news for the behavior that was happening at the school. Do you think that that just disappeared and went away because we have COVID? No. There's a video that will be posted after this live today. And the article is Fighting and Spitting at Burnett Middle. I did an interview with the parent that had posted on social media. I talked about it briefly, where her child was spat on and she took to social media after multiple incidences to ask for help. And I had the opportunity to interview her, and that will be posted shortly after I end this live. The altar call is very simple. And let me go ahead and put some like instrumental church music so that this can sound more impactful, because I really think that people need to be intentional with this. That might work. So all I'm gonna say is that people need to really reflect during this time. I know that there's a lot going on, but we need to save our children. We need to save our children from these apps and these people that are trying to get their attention. We need to be focused on them because they're out here showing that they are in pain. Our kids are suffering out here. And meanwhile, there's people playing games. You know, there's articles that are being posted about how more students have failed during this pandemic than ever before. Where's the empathy? Where's the grace? How are we preparing our kids for a better future when we're failing them because we're in a whole new world. Our kids could barely even function a computer. Some of them don't even have computer literacy skills. Some of them don't even have a computer at home. So we're forcing them to do all of this work on the computer, and they barely know the applications. They know how to download apps. They know how to, you know, do stuff on their phone, but it's completely different from a computer. I literally had to work so hard when I was teaching business technology to just get my kids to type properly, to type with both of their hands, for them to know the keyboard. Instead of just pecking with one key, to have a system in place to where they can type properly. Our kids are missing this education. Our kids are missing family time. I just want to know, when's the last time that you've actually sat down and had intentional time and had dinner with your kids? No phones, no TV, just having a conversation to get in to know them, asking them how their day was, asking them if they're okay, asking them what are they motivated by, what's their goals, what is their dreams. Can we please speak life to our children? Because at this point, enough is enough. We have all of this chaos that's happening in the world, and we aren't giving back to our kids, and we're giving them scraps and then complaining that our kids out here showing they behind in the community. They are literally shooting. They have guns. They are flashing said guns, and they are doing a whole bunch of toxic stuff on social media that you may or may not be aware of. And we have to fight back, and we have to take our kids back, and we have to fight for them, because the way that this is going, it looks hopeless. It does. And I'm going to keep it to you straight. The stuff that's happening in our school system is awful. Our kids are being bullied in school. Our kids don't feel safe. And you're going to hear where the young queen that I interviewed doesn't feel safe in her school. How can she learn and be productive in school if she doesn't even feel safe in the environment that she's in? But y'all need to start thinking about this stuff. Some of your kids don't even feel safe at home, and you want them to thrive. There's just no way that we can continue doing what we're doing and thinking that we're going to output something positive. So parents, change the frequency. Pay attention to what your kids are listening to. Pay attention to what they're watching. Pay attention to who they're following. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to them. Because all of the stuff that's happening out here in the world, I'm telling you, it is damaging not only to the adults in the world, but it's damaging to our children. And so I just want to let you know that I will be taking a break until 2021. I will be enjoying my Christmas break. I have some new equipment that I'm going to be changing up, and there's a lot of amazing things that is going to be taking place with Teaching for the Culture. And I'm so thankful that God is moving in this way. But y'all, we got to take our kids back, man. We got to. We can't do this anymore. We can't continue to allow our kids to just run with no direction. We have to give them something to look up to. And this ain't it. It's not it. So I love y'all so much. And thank y'all for rocking with me. Thank y'all for supporting me. And thank y'all for the movement. I hope that you guys have a great holiday. If you celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, I'm celebrating it with you. And I will see you at the new year. And I just want y'all to be intentional during this time and have family time, and just take a moment to just be off social media and be with your kids, because your kids need us. And the last thing that I'm going to say is that when y'all are doing this Christmas situation, please don't give your kids these iPhones and iPads and say that it's from Santa. Tell them who it came from, please. Because if a child gets a pair of socks and they're said it's from Santa, then now the kids are having imposter syndrome, and they're upset because they think that Santa doesn't love them more because Santa gave someone a pair of socks and Santa gave someone an iPhone. keep the small gifts for Santa and the large gifts from you, and be honest with your kids about money and finances so that they can be appreciative of these things, and so that they know they have to work for it and not something that they are just entitled to. But y'all have a great holiday. I love y'all. Y'all be blessed. And please share this video with people that need to see it. And thank y'all for supporting Teaching for the Culture. Thank y'all for supporting me. And with that, I love y'all. So y'all have a great time. And I'll see y'all in the new year. Happy holidays, everyone.
Please keep my name about your mouth. And mind your business.